morning, everybody. It is wonderful to be here. Yes, his arms are open wide, so let him hug you this morning. Don't we need hugs? We need hugs. Let him hug you right now and your mind. Go ahead, just think of it. Close your eyes and let him hug you. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Lord. We don't do well in life without his hugs. You ever think about the fall? It's called the fall. You ever drop something? We don't like to drop things because they're not the same after they're dropped. They break, they malfunction, they crack. It's not called the fall for any other reason except we have all been damaged. We're all broken. We all malfunction. And we don't have to be convinced of that because we know it all too well. We are broken. God has provided for us a house of healing. It's called the church. The church is God's house of healing. Because we're so malfunctioning, sometimes the church can be a place where we're not healed. It's a place where we can be damaged too. Because we're still broken as we're in the house of healing. But we can say, for the most part, for sure, because God is God, it is a house of healing. Because God has given to every member of the body a supply. And that supply is for somebody else. The Apostle Paul said, every joint, every person is a supplier. So when we walk with God and we are just who we are, according to his design, without even trying, we are supplying just by being, because he is our life. And this is the beauty of the body of Christ, fellow broken beings. So just let me finish with Psalm 103, because it is a message to the soul. It is written by David, and it is instruction to us for how to be helped, and then how to help others. So David starts out with this beautiful psalm, himself being quite a broken man. Bless the Lord, meaning speak well of. Bless the Lord, he's talking, and the singers are saying, oh, my soul. The directions are to the soul, which has been injured. It is broken. It malfunctions. Step one, bless the Lord. Speak well of the Lord. Wait a minute, there's help. There's help from above. God is there. So God says, just start by talking about me. Speak to yourself, soul, about who I am. Bless the Lord. So can you think of something right now? To yourself or to the person next to you if you want? Speak well about God. Just do that right now. Just say one thing. Speak well about God. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Soul instruction. Okay? Okay. So, bless the Lord, O my soul, and not half-heartedly But he says, in all that is within me, this is a full-fledged, given over, consumed by who God is. This is a great place to start. Bless his holy name. He repeats it again. Holy, separate. There is no one like him, ever, anywhere, and forevermore. And he says it again. Reiteration. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And what a great way to help ourselves in our healing process of our brokenness. Forget not all his benefits. He didn't say remember them as if they're over there and occasionally I look and remember, but he says don't forget them, meaning they're just always there. Don't forget, don't forget. And so forget not all his benefits. Jemul is that word for benefits. If you look it up in your concordance, you will see, I believe the first word is treatment. Forget not his treatment. Oh, God will supply his treatment for our brokenness and the damage we have suffered through the fall, through the drop, through the breaking. Yes, that's why we are always to bless his name, never to forget who he is, and to not forget the treatment available from him, his word, his person, his body, other people in the church whom he has supplied so that we can help heal each other in this environment of God consciousness. So then I'll just go through these quickly. Notice the first one, who, he's talking to the soul. This is addressing the soul. Who forgives all your iniquity, soul? He has forgiven all your iniquity, avon, perversity, crookedness. He has forgiven it all. He doesn't hold it against us. It's taken away. It was nailed to the cross. It is paid for in full. Number two, notice what follows the forgiveness of the perverseness. Healed of our diseases, soul, primarily soul diseases. Wrong ways of thinking, wrong patterns, wrong perception, wrong interpretations of ourself, of others, and of life, and of God, that he will, and he heals all of these diseases. The word heal means to stitch or to mend, that God will mend and stitch back together what's been torn and broken. Isn't he good? This is a benefit that we are not to forget. He redeems your life, soul. He buys it back from the pit. The pit means the trench, the trap, the grave. Because of sin, because of disease, we were living in the pit, in the grave. Our life was horrible, hopeless. He bought us back. That's our God. That's another benefit. Number four, he crowns you with steadfast love, soul. To crown means to surround, to encompass. He encompasses us with steadfast love. It means kindness. It means beauty. And then number five, notice the progression. He satisfies you, soul, with good, so that your youth is renewed, meaning to be rebuilt. like the eagles, soaring high effortlessly, enjoying the view, enjoying being an eagle. This is what God does for us. He says, don't forget it. Amen.
Well, sweet, huh? Great, beautiful. Now, husband and wife team leading us in songs, huh? It's good. Did you hear Pastor Hadley this morning on Psalm 103? Stitching, healing, and stitching. What was the other one? Mending. Yeah, the soul of man and how hurt we are. But then God healing us, huh? Stitching us together, healing us, going deep in our spirit and in our heart. And also he mentioned body life. Body life is a place of healing. Just literally sitting here in fellowship, we drink the same spirit. And the Word of God is able to give counsel when the pastor, Hadley, myself, or any other pastor is teaching, and the Spirit is saying something to my heart and my spirit. And it's then I turn to my neighbor, Blake, afterwards, and we have a little talk. And we have mutual wisdom. The same wisdom that God gives you in the fellowship, your brother has. Mutual joy, mutual worship. We worship God together, but we are members of each other. And he mentioned the verse in Ephesians 4, every joint supplies. Wasn't that good? There really is healing that happens in the body of Christ. So anything you can remember regarding Pastor Hadley's message, would you stand with me now for a moment? And very slow moving on Sunday morning. Very difficult to stand up. All right, now go to somebody in the room and just repeat what you heard Pastor Hadley say. Okay, you may be seated. Romans 7. Let's turn to Romans 7. Hi, Pastor Barry. Hey. Morning, Michael. Good to see you. David, Angela. Oh, thank you, Lord. Rick, Mary, wow, excellent. Romans 7, this message goes along with what Pastor Hadley shared. Good to have Richard Reha here, right down there, the second row. Thank you, Richard. He's awesome. Okay, Pastor Hadley said, Jesus' benefits are treatment. You think of a treatment, a therapy, or a treatment. Man has a fallen nature and suffers immensely from it. I wonder if I have my, is this working? Yeah, great. You have a man, and then you have the all different kinds of sins, attitudes, confusion that he has as a person, anger, bad words, frustrations, petty things that can disturb him. Maybe how he's served in a restaurant, or maybe somebody mistreated him at a gas station. Maybe his wife asked him to do something and he immediately reacted to it. Maybe in a committee, he's on a committee, and in a committee meeting, he is silent. He doesn't say anything because he's afraid of being unaccepted, of being not, he's afraid of rejection. So there are things in everyday life, raising children, paying our bills, living with ourselves, that every once in a while it is so obvious that I have a sin nature and my flesh is alive. My flesh is imagining and thinking and interacting in the world, and I am disappointed with myself. Sometimes Christians address these things, and of course we do. We think of those things as the problem. Or, you know, I am angry, or I say the bad things, or I'm confused. Actually, I may be empty. I have this, what Dr. Stevens called, cosmic loneliness, this emptiness that happens to people. But I want to make a short list of three things that are common, that are behind, we could say, behind this is a heart, we say, with a hole in it, or the old sin nature. And that fundamental nature, I want to say three things about it just to help you before we go to the text and read here. That those three things, number one, we fear people. We fear man. The fear of man is a snare. Why don't you talk? I'm afraid of getting in trouble. Why aren't you happy or satisfied or liberated? Because I'm walking in the presence of people that I love and respect, but I'm afraid of getting in trouble. I'm afraid of failing my mother, my father. I'm afraid of the school, the teacher, the coach. At work, I'm afraid of my boss or the people that I work with. The fear of man is a very common thing. Isaiah 2:22, God said to the Jews, "Cease from man whose breath is in his nostrils." You're afraid of people who will die in a second if you took their breath away. But we fear people because we're lacking something. The new birth. The new birth means that actually the man could be drawn a different way, and that is he's here and he has a heart and a spirit. Ezekiel 36:26. It's a very important text. Many of you know it. I will put my spirit in you. I will give you a new heart. I will put my spirit in you. This is the thing that makes us fundamentally different. It's our new birth, our regeneration, our relationship with God, the Holy Spirit in us, the new heart. Okay. The second thing that's at the root of the man's problems here, this is a man with, it's kind of frustrated with himself, and he's trying to manage his behaviors and his words, but there's something deeper he has to deal with. That is himself. That he doesn't realize how wrong he is. He doesn't realize how much he needs God. He doesn't realize, and this happens little by little, but it's a spiritual understanding that comes to your mind. And it really is precious when you say, I bring my life before God and I give him my life. This is called the cross. taking up the cross daily. The second thing that people deal with is a root sin. These dots could be called sins, plural. And this is sin, singular. The nature behind the cursing or the anger or the frustration with my wife or my family. It's not that. That's just a expression of a deeper problem. That deeper problem is, where's God in your heart? What is God saying to you? Have you heard from God? Is he loving you? Have you dealt with things way down in the basement or the back room where nobody goes? So the second thing in our sin nature, very prevailing, is pride. Basically, we could say pride is I do things my way. It's my way. That's the root of it. Pride means it's about me, my way, how I'm thinking about it, my opinion. It's me in control. I am controlling. I'm in the committee. We're having a meeting. I am not saying anything because that's how I control the situation. I'm not going to get in trouble. I'm going to be quiet. I control the situation by me being quiet. I don't have the liberty to speak. I don't have the liberty to express my opinion. I don't have the liberty to minister. I don't have the liberty to be who I am in God, because my pride replaces me, because I am protecting myself. I am controlling my life. I am in charge. This is a deep death. The cross is a deep death. Nobody could go there except God. God is the only one who can put his finger on your life and say, you are all about yourself. Come to me. Learn of me. Surrender your life to me. Trust me. I am God. I give you treatment. Good word, huh? I give you a therapy. I stitch you together. I heal you of your diseases. I change your mouth. I change your heart. I change your attitude. I change your imaginations, which are only evil continually. Any of you men ever had an evil imagination and you couldn't get rid of it? Any of you ladies have some sense of revenge or jealousy and you can't get rid of it? Yes, you have. This is amazing, because this is the answer for people. It's the gift of God. God could not have given us anything better than his own son. It's not a list of like therapeutical counseling tips. It's not like thousands of hours of counseling or that changes me. It is that God gave his son, that God himself replaced us. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Well, on my diagram, there's a lot of me. And of course, this is how it happens. This is what we're talking about today. I have found so much of myself in my life recently and seen so much, but I am like understanding by the great teaching that we've had through the decades that this is fine. This is the way it is. And I want to explain it to you. The third one is pleasure, an incredible desire for pleasure and comfort. Pleasure and comfort drives people. Let's take a man, he has a good job at the hospital, he comes home, he's got a lot going on, he has two children, he has wife, and he's saying mean things, he's frustrated, he's unhappy, he stops on the way home to get a beer or two, he tries to relax, he can't wait for the NFL season to start so he can just sit in front of the TV and watch sports because it placates him. It massages him. Like King Saul. Remember when King Saul had an evil spirit came and he asked David to come and play music? And when David played the music, the spirit left. It was like Saul was searching for a release from the trouble that he had by the dots, but he couldn't find the real deep deliverance because he couldn't lose himself. He couldn't surrender himself. He couldn't take up the cross. So we go to comfort, pleasure. Men, women turn to pornography. They turn to alcohol. They turn to recreational things. They try to manage their things, but they don't have the freedom. They don't have the deliverance. It's on the surface. It's temporary. Do you remember in your past life when you like live from weekend to weekend? That doesn't happen anymore because of the cross. What does the cross mean? It means that you and I are capable of saying, "You're right, Lord. Deep inside me is pride. I seek for my own comfort, my own pleasure." And that's a method I use to dull the pain or find fulfillment. Beware of that. Some guy could be bored with his marriage, so he starts looking for some woman. It's number three. He starts looking for a relationship to light him up, set him on fire, get him going again. One more fling, one more thing to do. What's the problem? It's called sin. It's death. It's trouble. It's not the answer. The answer for people is the cross, and it's the very last thing in the world people go to unless you are born again. If you are born again, you want to hear about the cross. If you are born again, you want to know about God. If you are born again, you're willing to pay any price to know God. Colossians 1, 9 to 10, and Philippians 1, 9 and 10. We are hungry for God. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why our fellowship is unique. By the way, I feel like the world is like in a lot of darkness and a lot of lies in the world, okay? This is the world. A lot of them. Like people losing trust in all kinds of things. They're losing trust in politics, science. They're losing trust in relationships and people, in government. They're losing trust in... There's like incredible... Why do we lose trust? Because of lies. The world is lying. The devil is the father of lies. When there are a few people on the earth, you could manage. But when you have 7.5 billion or more lying people with social media, all these things that are going on, we feel like we are being lied to constantly. So it suffers. But here's the church. Smaller group, but guess what? It's the pillar and ground of the truth. It is a place where the Holy Spirit ministers to us, and we can take it. It's a place where truth sets you free. I'm not afraid of people. Truth sets me free. It's not about me, my pride. It's about Jesus. I want to follow Jesus. He is a servant. I want to be submitted to Jesus. I want to follow him. I'm looking for God. The church is that place where those people are looking for God and they are finding him. They are finding him in the Bible. They are finding him in a practical way. They're finding him in different degrees, different ways, over a period of time, they're finding the freedom and the joy and the power. So in the society, we have a contrast. Actually, it's like a contest. The world versus the church. We say to the world, you're lying. A little boy is not a little girl. Little boy is a little boy. Okay, you're lying. Now, you guys are the enemy. You are the ones that are wrong. And we go, we cannot lie. We walk with God. God made a little girl, a little girl, a little boy, a little boy. I will not deny that obvious reality, objective reality that we've embraced for thousands of years as civilized people. Ridiculous. No, you need to be like us. We say we cannot. Because the truth goes not just on the outside like these dots, but it goes in your spirit, in your heart, and you have found it. You have found Jesus. You have found the love of the truth. You love the truth. You have a love for the truth. Then we love each other because we have the same fellowship. We have the same relationship with God as we do with each other. So this is where we are at today in our world. And get used to it. If you can't take the heat, you got to get out of the kitchen, right? Hey, you can't, but you can. You can take it. Are you ready for that? Can you contend for the faith in love? Can we just be a long time? It could be many, it could be 100 years, but guess what? Truth wins. Could be a battle for 100 years. The church cannot be beaten by the devil. The devil may get in. That church is gone because the devil got in. But there's another church that sprang up over here. And the devil is not in that one. 100 years later, the devil is in that one. But there's another church that came up over here from God. And God is in that one. God is in that one. God is in the believer who is born again, growing in the grace and the knowledge. Okay, now let's go to the text. Well, I'm almost... Okay, let's just do one short portion here. Verse 1. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. So, my point here is simply the contrast between law and what law and grace. The contrast the law, when is operating with a man as long as he lives. Verse 2. For the woman which has a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he lives. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. She is married. Paul is comparing it to marriage. But when her husband dies, she's free. Verse 3. So then, if while her husband lives, she be married to another man, she would be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. This is one of Paul's reasonable arguments about our new life. That when we are alive and we are married to the law, that law has power. But when I die, that law has no power over me. So verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. Grace, I'll put on this side, body of Christ. What does he mean by that? Because there's two ways that phrase is used. The body of Christ means Jesus' flesh and bones when he was on the earth, his body was crucified. That body, before his death or up to his resurrection. So that body is one. But the second meaning is us. We are members of the body of Christ. We are members in particular in Ephesians 5. We are members of his flesh and bones. We are fitted together as a body is fitted together. So look at what it says. It says, we have become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that we should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. A simple analogy, but an important one. How do we live now? We have faith. We have words. We have the body of Christ. We have the nature of God who says, I heal you. I give you treatment. I restore your life. I am with you. I motivate you. I love you. I forgive you. I give you words. I use you as examples one for another. You are dead to the law, but alive unto God. That's our new life. The barrier to it is our sin nature. And our sin nature comes alive by the law. I'll put here the heart with the hole in it. When the law is taught, my sin nature revives. It's written there, chapter 7. And verse 8. But sin that's in us, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law sin was dead. I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived. Let me finish with this. Sin revived. When I think of you coming to church and sitting here and listening to these messages, I do not think of your sin nature being revived. I think rather of your soul being healed. I think rather of you getting a sense of motivation. I have a bad attitude at home where I have some depression happening in my life, but I know that if I hear the law, it will produce in me a reaction, and I will start fighting with myself, and my frustration increases. But if I understand finished work, and I've surrendered, I already know I'm a sinner. I already know how bad I am. I mean, in different degrees. I don't know much, but I know that what the story is, that I do not need to fight with my flesh. I just want to be submitted and surrendered to the treatment, the restoration, the healing, the ministry that is in the body of Christ, that is in the Word of God, is in the grace of God, and my walk of faith. I'm just believing God, and there's no legalism in it. It's simple trust, worship, and faith. So beware of this. When you, the law may not come from the pulpit, but the law can come from your own heart. From your own heart, right? From your heart. And you can beat yourself up with the law. You're not much of a believer. You don't pray like you should. You do not read the Bible. You're not reading the books that you should be reading. You're not having the right behaviors. You're not doing, but when you get to know God, you realize, wow, this is a lot deeper than my behaviors. This is a worship, a surrender, a trust. God filling us with the Spirit. God motivating us in our heart. God dealing with those three things that I had up there that need to be dealt with in my heart. Where are they here? These right there. These things, that they're the last thing to go. They're the last thing to go. I don't want to admit it. But if you can admit it, the Spirit fill you. The cross leads to Pentecost. Death leads to life. Faith in Christ leads to a resurrection. And surrender means exaltation. God will take care of you. God will heal you. God will speak to you. God will fill you with the Spirit. And you'll be bouncing around within your heart, not necessarily physically, but somehow in your heart, you are energized in your heart. You are encouraged in your heart. You're believing and you're understanding that Jesus has taken care of me. But if you are married to the law, sin will revive. There are angry people that leave evangelical churches and fundamentalist churches because the law is the ministry that they get. Do this, do that. Why didn't you do that? You should do that more. Even in circles like certain charismatic circles, you should believe more. You don't believe enough. You should believe more, and so on. This revives in us a rebellion against it. It doesn't minister to me. But this is a ministry when Jesus walks into a room and he finds you and he goes to you. And Jesus sits there with you. And Jesus knows you. And Jesus is like the deep well, the water. It says in Proverbs that the counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, and a man of understanding will draw it out. So Christ is able to know you. He knows you. He cares about you. He loves you. And when he ministers to us, we feel refreshed, revived, encouraged. There's a lot of elements in this message, but this is enough for now. I think you understand what we're saying. The body of Christ is one of God's therapies for human beings People are not to be alone. They are to be loved. They are to be nurtured. They are to be taught. People are to have friends. They are to laugh together. They are to cry together. They are to pray together. They are to be just happily disposed to each other, mutually edifying in truth. It's the greatest thing going on the earth, and the world does not have it. And it's a tragic thing. Okay, amen. Would you pray with me, please? By the way, Bible school is starting a week from tomorrow. So you want to sign up for a class or two or all of them, you are welcome. Bible college, spend some hours in the Bible during the week and learn and see what God will do to minister to you through that. Lord Jesus, we are in a world of hurting people. And as lies increase, people get more unstable. They get more troubled, more worried. As the lies increase, they start looking for an anchor. There's no anchor like you. There's no solution for our trouble but you. We should turn to God. And when you minister to us, you show us another way, easy way. My yoke is easy. You show us, you enlighten our mind. You affect our hearts. Thank you, Lord. Please bless all the churches in the United States of America and all the evangelism, the men and women of God and the deep thinkers in the Christian faith, the theologians and the teachers. And please, may the church not compromise with the world and call a lie the truth, but that we would be rooted and grounded in you and with love be able to bring something new into the world. Our joy, our freedom, our peace, and the testimony of truth. Maybe you've never started your Christian life. Please start today. Say yes to Jesus in your heart. Walk by faith. Walk out of this room by faith. Walk out of the room and have faith in him. He is for you. Talk to him. He will answer your prayer. He will show you. He will comfort you. He will fill you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Do this in Jesus' name. Amen.